Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker Studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me for another episode of the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast. Today's perspective comes from Amiad Fredman. He is the Chief Product Officer of Aegis Health. It's a digital health company. He is also a content creator. Amiad is a member of the millennial generation. And welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here, Rob.
Absolutely. And just also mentioned for the sake of those keeping track of such things at home, he joins us from St. Louis. Let's start right with this. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a medical doctor by training, although what that means for me is a little different than most. After medical school, I went right into working in the digital health industry. And for me, that was really a product of just my passion for technology and healthcare coming together and really trying to realize the accessibility that technology, when used properly, can achieve in healthcare. So that's the route that I took. And I'm, like you mentioned, the chief product officer of a digital health company, which is really exciting because I get to work very closely with the technology we're developing, really get to be the voice of the vision for the digital health solutions that we're making. And I love it. I get to sit on the intersection of health and technology and business and health and get to speak to the physicians and the engineers and the developers. And it's really this sort of beautiful realization of what I suspected to be true when I was in medical school, which is, you know, in 2022, then, you know, 2019, but as more technology companies are moving into the health space, as now with the pandemic, digital health has just, you know, blossomed, these companies need doctors and medically trained professionals at the forefront, really, of their work to make these solutions successful and impactful. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. So talk to me about digital health. I'm assuming that that's more than just, you know, setting up a space where telehealth visits happen. When you say digital health, what does that exactly mean?
Digital health to me is any type of usually software-based technology that's being used in the hospital in some way. So it's a very broad term. You're right that telemedicine is part of digital health. I would argue that even something, you know, it's not very sexy, but even something like electronic medical records qualifies as digital health. But digital health is unique and it has the opportunity to affect patients and to even target patients as the main users and physicians. And sort of my realization, my focus in digital health is making sure that anything that touches a patient fits into the physician's workflow. And anything that touches a physician, you know, helps to improve that communication and that transparency of health information between patient and physician, really to use technology in the way that it was created to be used, which is to improve our lives, to augment our lives, to make our lives easier. And so often in healthcare, it's just used for the opposite. It's just a barrier to doing what you need to do, to getting in front of your patient. I see digital health as a way to actually help remove those barriers.
Okay. And what I'm hearing you say is that the using the digital tools that are available, not to conform the way that people practice, but to figure out how to use those tools to supplement and assist people in the way that they're practicing. Does that make sense?
I think that's right. You know, there's so many tools out there and you can have a great, great solution, you know, just something has all the research behind it. It's such a great idea, But at the end of the day, if the doctors don't have the time to use it, or if the patient isn't motivated to use it, it's worth nothing. So sort of my focus in my company, and kind of my outlook onto digital health in general, is have the great solution, but work twice as hard to make sure that it is as easy to use as possible and just fits into the workflow and lifestyle of the patient and the doctor.
Got it. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
You know, I think it's almost along the same lines that quality healthcare to me is built upon connection. And that's connection with your doctor, with your care plan, and yourself. I believe that technology is the piece to actually, you know, I think some people would maybe roll their eyes at this. They see technology as, you know, utilized in healthcare as the barrier to this. You know, it's the classic image of the patient in the clinic, you know, for the 15-minute visit, and the doctor doesn't even look at them because they're deep inside their computer, right? That's technology being used in the wrong way in healthcare. But I believe that it can, if used right in the ways that we kind of mentioned, it can facilitate that connection. So, you know, connection with your doctor, which I really think is unlocked by clear communication. How, you know, if you think about in our everyday life, how much technology and digital technologies play a role in communication. Communication today is completely different than it was just 10 years ago. When you think about the evolution of smartphones and, you know, messaging and all of these things, FaceTime, all these things, we need to make sure that just how these technologies are being used in our everyday life, that should carry over to how we interact with our doctor too, seamlessly. So I think communication is kind of key for that quality healthcare. Similarly, I think, you know, connection with your care plan, to me, I see that as unlocked with engagement. If you are a patient, why does a diabetes patient, when shown a picture of what can happen to their leg if they don't get their diabetes under control, even, you know, talk about the risk of amputation, how come that patient continues to not take the necessary steps to address that problem, to address those lifestyle changes? Well, it's obviously a very, very complicated and patient specific, case by case issue, but I believe that if you can appropriately engage that patient with their care plan, and I think that's, you know, partly by proper education, by communication, but also, yeah, how do we motivate people to do things, and how does technology motivate us to do things? I think all of those things are key to achieving proper communication, which is key to achieving proper quality healthcare.
Okay. Talk to me, because I see different levels of communication out there, okay? I laugh because my kids have conversations and they're completely done on Snapchat or completely done in text. And I feel like their ability to actually talk to someone face-to-face has been somewhat limited because of, you know, the modes of communication that they're used to having. How do you ensure that there is the necessary amount of communication? So, because, you know, different generations are going to feel differently about whether they're going to get a text message from their doctor or an email from their doctor or an in-person visit or a telehealth visit. It's all going to be different. How do you figure out the necessary level of communication and figure it out as it is specific to each patient that you're looking at? Does that make sense at all as a question?
It does. And I think it comes down to accessibility. It comes down to meeting each individual patient where they're at. Listen, it's not up to us to judge if one mode of communication is better than another. And to be honest, we're not going to make a difference there, right? That's the kids are going to use Snapchat to communicate, and we're not going to stop them from doing that, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. So I think it's about meeting them where they're at. Like you mentioned, an older generation or someone who's not comfortable with technology, they may not want to do anything with, you know, direct messaging, text messaging, telehealth, and that's fine. We should be able to cater to them as well. But we need to also be able to cater to the other extreme, you know, which is the, you know, the on-demand generation, which is I want service and I want it now, and I want communication and I want it now. We have to be able to catch up with and maintain both of those sides of the spectrum, really. So, again, it's a lot easier said than done, but it starts with empowering clinicians and healthcare systems to be to have the tools that fit into their workflow so that they can handle either patient from either of the spectrum.
Got it. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Yeah, you know, I think that you look at companies like AliveCore or even mental health companies like Talkspace, companies that have sort of, again, seen this big surge in the pandemic, that are providing innovative technologies and new ways to interact with your health and your doctor. And that's something we haven't seen before, right? AliveCore is bringing EKGs, you know, usually which you need 12 lead EKGs or you know, to diagnose certain heart disorders, certainly AFib, to monitor your AFib, diagnose AFib. And they're bringing that now. They just released, you know, it's a credit card sized and the same thinness of a credit card EKG. And a patient can just have that and pull that out if they're in AFib and, you know, see what's going on or if they need to diagnose themselves, bringing these technologies to people to allow them to engage with their health in ways that they never have before. You know, if you take a glance over to my YouTube channel, digital.games, where I focus on sort of a deeper interest of mine, which is games and health. And, you know, you look at a company like Achille Interactive, which has Endeavor RX, which is the first prescription FDA approved video game for the treatment of a disease. And that's ADHD in children. You know, that's something that just never existed before. And it's easy to hear something like that and be like, what, a video game? How is that going to actually treat a disease? But we live in a world now where there's this new category of medicine, which is digital therapeutics, which again, it all comes down to engagement. How do we take these medicines, these care plans, and put them in a way that empower our patients to want to interact with them as much as possible? Because if you keep interacting with the care plan, that means you keep getting treated by the care plan. And if you don't, right, it's compliance. That's what it all comes down to. So I think, you know, these are a lot of examples, but examples of sort of companies that have taken it upon themselves to come up with new ways for people to engage with their health and to do that in a meaningful and sometimes even fun way. So that's kind of what I think of when I think of quality healthcare and where this industry is going.
Sure. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
You know, I think what I wish people understood more, and I think we're getting there, but you know, you look at my background as an MD doing something a little bit non-traditional, I'd like people to have a little bit more of an open mind about that. Thankfully, since I have been working in digital health and been working as, you know, in product, I think one person, I've only been on one call in the years that I've been working, where a physician said, oh, you know, you should consider doing residency. And that's fine. When I was in medical school making this decision, or after I had already made the decision to not continue with clinical practice, almost every single doctor that I worked with in the hospital through medical school had said that to me, you know, as if I hadn't considered doing residency or as a big decision. So I'd like to see more people be a little bit open-minded. And this was, you know, this was 2018, 2019 when this was happening for me when I was making this decision. I think even since then, there's been a lot of momentum and a lot of growth in this area. And I think you are seeing more MDs go doing this. And I think that will be normalized more and more. But really, I think just having an open mind about careers in general and what that means for someone, and not to pigeonhole someone into a certain path just because that's what people have done before them.
Okay. I think that makes complete and total sense. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Yeah. I feel like I kind of touched upon it. Once I kind of go down this rabbit hole of talking about these innovative companies and, you know, I said my specific interest in games and health, that's kind of what I my smile just kind of comes to my face because I get so excited about that. You know, I think now with these new immersive technologies that are coming out, like virtual reality, augmented reality, that really excites me. The power of these technologies to immerse and to engage people and patients. You know, when I first went into medical school, that was sort of my hook that I went into. It was about 2016. VR was sort of just hitting the shelves in a popular way. The technology was just starting to get to the point where it was really exciting. And I thought, like, wow, if you could transport a patient anywhere in the world, you know, what an incredible thing that would be for them. And I think you see, you know, that these technologies, it's not just a fad, they are staying, they are growing. And I think the opportunity for quality healthcare is going to shoot up with the utilization of these new immersive technologies. You know, they offer ways to engage with the physical and digital worlds kind of like never before. And like I said, when that engagement is translated to health, ultimately, I believe that's how you get better outcomes. So it all comes back to patient compliance and kind of hitting that on the head. And I think these technologies really have the way to do that. So for me, you know, in the next 5 years of healthcare, that's what I'm excited to see is how these technologies integrate with the healthcare system more and more.
Yeah, it's so interesting because a lot of times people are looking at the technologies as a form of entertainment. And you were talking about gaming as a therapeutic and, you know, using virtual reality in a therapeutic way. And so you've taken something that you've taken a technology that is in existence and figured out and applied utilization for that. That's going to be beneficial, not just to help people pass the time, but actually in their dealing with whatever the situation is that they're handling it. Very, very interesting idea. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
You know, I think the big thing is be open-minded, right? I think medicine has a tricky situation that you know, people who work in medicine are in, is because there's this rough balance or fine balance, depending how you look at it, between tradition and innovation or individual style or something like that, right? You know, when I was working in the hospital, it always kind of bothered me that for every patient, didn't matter what service we were on, didn't matter what provider we were working with, what clinician we were working with, what physician we were working with, everyone rounded in the same way. And more or less across the country, everyone's rounding the same way, right? Every in the morning, you're going, you're seeing all your patients, you're going door to door. That always frustrated me as someone who also kind of had a toe in the product world, where there's all this innovation happening about, well, how do you even, from a team process, how do you work as a team? How do you strategize? How do you organize your day? And there's all this work with an agile process and a sprint process. And there's all this like thought being put in, how do we make our workflows more efficient so that we eliminate waste? And there's so much waste that goes on in the hospital setting. And we've been doing, you know, the same way of rounding patients for years and years and years, because there's sort of this commitment to tradition. And there's a reason for that. You know, you're dealing with people's lives here. You want to be careful. You want to make sure you have eyes on patient, you know, you don't miss anything. Right. But that obviously comes at a trade-off. And, you know, I would, with this specific example, you know, I'd like to see people be open-minded to trying something else. How can we improve our workflow in different ways? And being open-minded, like we talked about, okay, maybe I'm not used to prescribing a digital technology, but let me look at the research. Let me look at why this is FDA approved. Let me look at, you know, what impact this can have in addition to the therapy that I'm trained on giving. And really just, you know, be a catalyst for growth in medicine instead of not necessarily a barrier, but going with the status quo.
That's what I was just going to say. Being content with where you are rather than looking for opportunities for growth and development. Hey, Amiad Fredman, thank you for being with me today and for sharing. You have a viewpoint that I had not heard before, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.